My name is Susanna, and on behalf of my friend, co-host, and former housemate, Jemima, welcome to Ours Truly. This is the last episode of this season, and we're discussing change, how we deal with it, ways we could deal with it better, what we think the relationship between change and nostalgia is, and looking forward to future changes. So grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever you'd like, turn up the volume, and come and sit with us.
Susanna, season's greetings.
Hi, Jem. How are you?
Good. Now, I just wanted to say that season's greetings is a regard you can regard someone with any time of the year.
Well, it's always a season,
isn't it? It's always a season. So seasonal salutations is definitely one of those ones to add to the email closure list.
What other seasonal greetings could we do?
Fondest annual regards.
Wonderful winter to you.
Yeah, I mean, seasons are a lot of different things.
Splendid summer.
Ooh, darling. Aspirational autumns.
Spectacular spring.
Ooh, okay. Competition's on.
But we've gone through all the seasons.
What else have we got?
Or have we?
Seasons of life. Then you've got have an adventurous advent.
Extravagant Easter.
Ooh, what about a delicious Diwali?
Oh, no.
A rambunctious Ramadan.
Oh, no. Okay, call it. There's too many different religious festivals in all the different world religions.
So the good news is alliteration is always a good time.
Yes. But yes, season's greetings in more ways than one. First of all, Christmas is coming up. It's getting closer and closer, which is so exciting.
The manic panic has started.
It has. Yep. And it's no longer possible to get a park in the shops on a weekend.
But it does mean I now know all the songs on the cafe radio.
Yes.
Because I usually do not know any of the latest songs, but now I know all of them because I've been hearing my whole life every November, December.
Yep. Especially those Mariah Carey, Michael Bublé.
That's right. We suddenly become someone who can sing along to pop music.
Which is not us, if anyone who knows us.
Hottest 100 Christmas album. Because the hottest 100 Christmas album is really rarely changed over the 2000 years.
Yeah. There's just different covers.
That's right.
Anyway, but the other reason that Season's Greetings is relevant is because this is the last episode of season one of Ours Truly podcast.
That's right. Sad seasonings.
Yeah. Just like a little bit of spicy Cajun seasoning.
That's right. A bit of remorse for rosemary.
Yeah. Thankless time. Doesn't quite
work. Whoa. Okay. That's triggering me. Why does time have a H? We don't know. We don't know. It shouldn't.
No. But yeah, I've really, really enjoyed recording these episodes with you over the season. It's been nice, and I think I'm really going to enjoy looking back on them as well. And who knows what's going to happen in the future.
It's going to be fun. I know, you know, not to let anyone know that we might actually listen to our own podcast, because that would sound really dorky. But occasionally, if you're not at work, so we used to work together in the same home office, when you're not there and I listen to it, it's like you're sitting there and it's like a chat we've had in the past. And usually I've forgotten exactly what we talked about. And then you're like, oh, that's funny. And you're like, that's because you said it.
Well, it is good you find yourself funny. Like,
sometimes.
Yeah.
You just enjoy it as a third person. And you're like, wow, they sound like nice people.
Well, Jem, how was your week? What's something that you enjoyed this week?
This week has brought a lot of change. I have moved house. I moved in with 5 different people who are not yourself. So I'm missing you, Suze, at home in our little work from home and homing from home life.
I miss you too.
Thanks. All right. Yes, it's been different, just adapting, moved into my new room. I did enjoy redecorating it slightly. I had slightly more space than I anticipated. Since I've been there, we've held 2 events full of people through our house. So it's going to be...
That's so nice.
That's in the 2 Saturdays. We had 2 events. So that was really nice.
It's going to be the house for you.
It's lots of people, lots of food, lots of laughs.
A good house for extroverts.
That's right. And I haven't told the girls yet, but I've bought us all water pistols for Christmas. So that is going
to
be fun.
Are you going to leave that in? What if they listen to it?
I don't think... They've got a few to catch up on, I think. Look, I wasn't a big thing in their life until I moved in, so, you know, they'll have to get through all the seasons, the episodes before they listen to this one.
Yeah, then they get a surprise.
That's right. Yeah, and if they listen to this, well, you can look forward to it.
Yeah, that's exciting.
How about you, Suze? What did you enjoy this week?
Well, I, you know, like you have also moved.
we are no longer living together, which is really sad. But it's good as well because it was such a beautiful time living together, and we're also moving into a new beautiful time. So for me at the moment, that looks like moving home to my parents' house for a couple of weeks, and then I'm getting married.
Oh my goodness.
Which is so exciting. I think when this podcast comes out, there'll be like a week to go. So
that is so, so exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. But this week I've just really been enjoying hanging out with my family again, like my mum, my dad, my two sisters and my brother, and just being around the kitchen table and walking into their rooms in the morning and saying hi, and just, you know, that interaction that while I've seen them over the last couple of years, I haven't had that home life with them. So it's nice to get it for another couple of weeks before I start a new family with John.
Oh, so it's a really special time just, you know, reconnecting with your family and having those everyday moments. I think you find are really nice moments to share. When you are a kid and you just want to get out of there and have your own space and your own home, those things are taken for granted. But somehow, you know, when you go away and you've all been apart, it's those little things like having brekkie together, even if it's Weet-Bix,
yeah,
that are just really special to share. You appreciate them more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think today we wanted to chat about change generally. So everything's always changing. I'm not going to say the classic cliche about change.
But what if someone hasn't heard the cliche and they don't know what we're talking about?
If you haven't heard the cliche, then you're probably better for it. What do you think?
I think we have to tell them. Otherwise, oh, if you don't want to hear the cliche, just skip ahead 15 seconds.
Just skip 15 seconds. You have your chance now. 3, 2, 1. Change is the only constant. That was so inspirational the first time I heard it. And now it's like, it's like saying this pandemic is unprecedented. And you're like, no! Get a synonym dictionary.
Yeah. Now the only thing that's constant is change and that.
And unprecedented events.
Yeah.
Today's an unprecedented day in history. Yeah. It's never happened before.
Wow. Anyway, moving on from that emotional trauma. Yes, change is something that obviously happens to all of us all of the time, and yet it can be have such a massive impact on us. I think just this past week, was it only a week ago that we moved out? That was like a massive change. It's been such a big change, like not waking up in the same room as you and having breakfast together, and especially working together. Adjusting to that has been like I knew it was going to be a big change, but it was more of a big change and more of like, it affected me more than I ever expected. And you know, in the same way, like when I get married in a couple of weeks, I know that's going to be a big change and a beautiful change and a wonderful change, but it is going to be a big change. And I'm not sure, I suppose, like how I'm going to approach that, what effect that's going to have on me emotionally, where I'm going to be at. It's just change in general, and also obviously the substance of changes can really shape our lives, particularly for whatever time that's in.
Absolutely. I think it's those routines, you know, your body creates routines so it doesn't have to work hard. So you'll have muscle memory of how to tie your shoelaces, so you don't have to do it. You can wash a cup thinking about something else. Most of the time you can drive while you're concentrating on maybe something else you're thinking about. So we create those shortcuts to unburden our minds and that mental processing factor of living. And I think when you change and your environment changes, your job might change, or the people around you change, you're suddenly not able to rely on these modes of routine. So I can just imagine if the things where we all know our routines is like the Marie Kondo?
I'm not how to say it. Yeah, Marie Kondo.
Let's go minimalist and call it MK. That's fucking joy for me right now. So if MK says, you know, your mind with your routines maybe brings down your power, it shifts you up a gear, you using less energy, then when we change, I think we have to then start putting in all that energy again. I have to think in my new kitchen, where is this? Where is that? Okay, then I have to go to the shops or the chemist. Okay, how do I navigate there?
Mm-hmm.
and, oh, this is a person that I don't know as well as you, Susanna. All right, how do I interact with them here? Okay, how should we have a discussion about this? How do they like humor like this? So there's all these things that you have to consider that are new. So I think that, I don't know, there can be a bit of an overwhelm in some points and an exhaustion, but I think it can be traced to just those little things that there's less we're automating.
Yeah, that's something I haven't really thought about before, but I think you're completely right that we're suddenly having to put a lot of effort into things that we never had to put effort into. Yeah, small things like the way you go to the shops or where the spoon is in the drawer.
Oh, that's been triggering me. We had our cutlery different ordered, and you don't even hardly look in the cutlery drawer. You just kind of, you just know, what you have a muscle memory of your kitchen, and we had a very tiny kitchen. So you could probably reach everything standing in the middle of our kitchen.
Yeah, you could.
or with a stepladder. We had really tall cupboards.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking, and I'm like, where is that? And then I'm like messaging someone saying, where's the spare toilet paper? Oh, no. I don't want to leave it unstocked in the bathroom, not with however many women I'm living with. So yeah, it's just all those little things, you're having to put time into it. And they will become routines. For you, I mean, your family home, I mean, that always has a ring of familiarity with the light switches and
yeah, that's things. True. Like at the moment, I'm not, the real change for me is not adjusting to the new place. It's adjusting to not being in the old place.
Mm.
I think, but there's so many other instances of change, like that we've already been through in our pretty short lifespan so far, even just going to school and different friends, different classrooms, moving into you high school, all of that change, even just growing up and everything that's involved with that, our bodies changing, our preferences changing, our emotions changing,
taste buds,
yes, everything
changing,
yeah, our music preferences, our food preferences, our, I don't know, like clothing preference, everything that we can come into contact with, I suppose, and even about ourselves can change. But I think personal change is not as jarring as change that comes from the outside, because it tends to happen more gradually.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes it can happen dramatically. I suppose even in a way, if there's an accident and someone is injured, that's a dramatic change that will impact everything that person will have to do. But in general, you know, if your personality is changing, it's not going to be immediate. It's going to be a slow process. Whereas external factors like moving, changing jobs, you know, having someone pass away, having a new baby born into the family, they're all immediate changes that require a completely different, I suppose, approach to that situation or to your whole life. For me, I find I actually quite enjoy change compared to other people. I think I like the excitement of new things. And if I'm coming up to a period of change, I'm usually not apprehensive, usually, because I'm focusing on the excitement of that new thing, whether that's going on a holiday or moving overseas or, you know, getting married, whatever that is, or a new job. I'm focusing on that new thing and I'm not focusing on the loss that's going to come from whatever state I'm currently in. But for me, then once I move into that, until that feels comfortable again, like you were saying, until all of those automated reflexes settle in and I know who to chat to in the staff room or where everything is in the house, then there's this kind of limbo period where I've lost my sense of home, whether that's in a physical home or whether that's in a relationship or whether that's in a job or whatever. A country, there's that period where it feels like, oh, okay, I've completely uprooted myself and now I'm not comfortable here. And it can feel like, oh, am I ever going to be comfortable again? Have I completely lost that sense of home forever? Have you ever found that?
I love that phrase, defining a sense of home. So I think that's a place we are either in or we're trying to get to or we're missing, like in all different rotations of our life. So whether, like you said, it's being comfortable around new colleagues, it seems to be for me, in my experience, that it is awkward and you're hyper aware of how much you don't know anyone and that you don't actually, if we just use a work environment, because a lot of people have adjusted to new jobs, you know, at different levels of, you know, colleague relationships too, depending on if you're Uber driving or menu log delivering versus working in an open plan office where people are constantly with you. And I can imagine in a trade relationship, you know, you've got someone directly with you all the time. So yeah, that would be really different in that apprenticeship stage. But there seems to me to be a space where suddenly you just look up and you know everyone. And you haven't really realized that progression.
Yeah.
And suddenly you don't mind saying what you think in a meeting. And you don't really know when that happened. Or suddenly you feel comfortable with someone that is a really slow change.
Yeah.
Really slow change for me. Like, it's really obvious when you're not comfortable. But then that act of comfort, that coming to a sense of home or sense of place is super gradual.
Yeah, it's built really slowly, I think. Which I think makes it better. If it was, if it did come quicker, perhaps it wouldn't be as strong or as sturdy. I think because it takes you longer to adjust, when you do feel comfort, that comfort is more stable or more secure, perhaps.
And I think we're less likely to want to leave it.
Yeah.
Even moving to the suburb we lived in together, I felt that. And I, actually different to you, we've discussed this before as well, when it's like coming up to a change or a new thing, I am quite reflective, and you are too, but we're reflective at different stages of that process.
Yeah.
So even if I think back to finishing high school, for the last month or so, yes, we're doing the HSC, which is the Year 12 exams in New South Wales, and, you know, there's all that study to do, and I was definitely focused on that. But I felt an ongoing reflective process for at least a month of looking around at the people around me, thinking, I'm not going to be here for very long. Wow, I'm not going to see that person ever again, most likely. And that was like a sense of loss for me that I was processing as I was letting go of that stage. And for me, it seems to come before the stage, especially if it's a definite thing. Things like going on a holiday, I mean, I don't usually get excited until right at the end. So it's, yeah, it's not
a very big change.
It's not a big change. And I suppose that permanency of that change is not the same. But I remember even changing schools really early on in year four, and I felt the same thing. I felt as a person in year four, I don't know how old we'd be, like 10?
Yeah.
9 or 10, grieving. Like, our parents told us around the dinner table and I burst out crying.
Yeah.
And like ran over to Dad and was like, oh, but what about my friends? Because I've always valued relationships.
Mm.
And I'm sure my brothers were disappointed in their own way. Maybe they weren't.
Maybe they were super happy.
But one of my brothers got a much better set of friends at his new school, so maybe that was a positive change. And we're all being young. But I think I've been sensitive to that. Yeah, and I think in a place sense, like when we moved, we also moved suburbs. And those transitions is like people, but it's also places and routines and levels of comfort and senses of home. On all those levels, the change management and the change adjustment is different.
Yeah. Do you think there is a difference between how we react and adjust to changes that we choose to make as opposed to changes that are made for us?
I think one of the things you pointed out too was like the sense of control we had over some change, and then how suddenly will depend on how we can adjust to it. Because if you've prepared for something, so if you just, you know, you've been preparing to marry your fiancé for a long time.
Yeah.
You've gotten to know him. It's been a slow process, and now you're getting married. So, and that's a change that you decided.
Yeah.
So that's like something. But when it's something even positive, like say you, one of your siblings told you they're moving overseas.
Yeah.
And you just found out and that's happening really quickly. Well, you don't have agency over that. You don't have time to prepare for that. And that could be a positive thing as well.
Mm.
So when I was still at home and my brothers moved out, I still grieved them moving, but you also knew
that it was, so it was a good for
positive
them.
Change.
Yeah.
So this is just keeping it all in the positive zone. Of course, there's, you know, on the other side of that spectrum, you've got your like traumatic changes where you are suddenly grieving the loss of a loved one. Like some of our dear friends have passed away in really short spaces of time, you know, over the last month. And it's just for those families, it's devastating.
Yeah.
But then a slow death where you're expecting it as well is just as hard. So I think some losses are so deep and hard and sore and, like, terrible that whether you're expecting it or it's unexpected, it's like hard to imagine anything.
Yeah, nothing's going to lessen it.
Like nothing, yeah, can lessen that kind of grief. But in the positive zone, I think, you know, if someone else made a choice about me and made me lose my job, like an unexpected redundancy or something, that's also different from me just leaving. So,
yeah
in response to your question, I think whatever that was, I'll have to rewind the podcast. Yes, the agency having a decision and your preparedness for it, and then, you know, how closely it affects you, I think all definitely impact how we adjust and react to change.
I'm really interested in the interaction between change and nostalgia.
Ooh.
Because I think, I mean, everyone experiences nostalgia at some point, but I think it's particularly tied to change for some people in particular. And I suppose it's always tied to change, but for some people, they experience it really quickly after a change, or even it kind of almost sounds like, well, perhaps not nostalgia that is what you're experiencing when you were like changing schools, but a similar sort of appreciation and loving all of the positive elements of wherever you are. And perhaps, correct me if I'm wrong, not focusing as much on the negative elements of what you were about to change from.
Yeah. Wow. Nostalgia. That's always kind of been a, you know, it's a state of reflection that's really skewed towards positive memories.
Yeah.
Or strong emotions. Usually nostalgia has a positive light, you know, that really stick out, and it just cuts out all the mundane bits. Like, did you ever watch a movie and they're doing something really important? No one ever stops to go to the toilet.
Yep.
No one's had breakfast. No one's eaten dinner.
But unless a super important conversation was happening over
exactly,
breakfast.
Exactly. Or they're texting on the toilet. I don't know. So, yeah, I think one thing that makes nostalgia sweet is that all those details that happen over and over again are so forgettable. They're just so everyday. It's kind of not worth mentioning. So I think your brain just lumps them all into one category called everyday life. And that's it. That's why holidays for 5 days can be your main memory of an entire year.
Yeah.
Which was filled with routine and everyday things.
Do you think nostalgia makes us more opposed to change? Because we're looking back at all of these wonderful times we're no longer in for whatever reason. Or do you think it doesn't have an effect on our approach to change, or whether we think change is a good or bad thing in general?
I think nostalgia is the sweet aftertaste of life.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's the residing warm buzz after a sip of tea.
So you don't think it really affects, I suppose.
Sorry, I was just being silly and poetic, because I think nostalgia
you
sits
being silly
in that
at all.
Realm. Well, at least poetic. So as far as nostalgia making it easier to let go or harder to let go, I think it makes it harder to let go because you're yearning for something that used to exist. But that's, I think, a natural state of remembering. Like, we can't reminisce on the future. So there's not like, it's like you can look back through a photo album of things and that's nice and that's positive. But it depends if we're using that to, you know, we're disgruntled at our present and we're like, you know, it can be a gratitude thing as well. Sometimes if you are having a hard time, you have to think, well, okay, overall in the last, you know, 5 years, look what's happened. Okay, you got to study. You got to choose what to study. And this is sometimes my self-talk if I'm just a bit annoyed at the day or annoyed at the, I suppose you could call it a season, because sometimes they're just in the middle places. You're not really progressing in a way that you feel is significant. You know, you're not really doing poorly. You're just a bit bored of where you are. And looking back and reminiscing in a nostalgic way can be, like, for me, a point of gratitude. But you can also use it to not embrace what you could be doing in the present, which is saying, oh, it's never going to be as good as it used to be. You know, if, say, you have an illness in the present, which fortunately we haven't had major illnesses, I just, you know, for people who suddenly have maybe lost mobility, like my dad works with a lot of senior people and helps care for them, but they're in the past remembering that they could do these things, and it's a constant source of frustration.
Yeah.
That they don't have that independence anymore. Oh, I can't drive anymore. Oh, I can't see anymore. And they're legitimate grievances. Like, they're really difficult struggles. So there would be this nostalgia of comparison of, okay, this is reinforcing how terrible today is, and making me resent today versus I think like, oh, look back on that time we had with our family, like at least I could do that. And, you know, some of his patients are like, well, I had a good life and, you know, I'm fine. I'm, you know, I'm at peace with that. And, you know, so there's, I think part of it comes down to your attitude and how we're using nostalgia and how we're using our sitting with the past. Are we sitting with it as a friend or are we sitting with it as sort of an envious self that we used to have?
Yeah. I think listening to you say that, it's just standing out to me the difference between acceptance and resentment of change, you know, particularly in these circumstances that have not been chosen, changes that haven't been chosen, which, I mean, thank God, like, I'm so grateful that I haven't had to experience something so severe or so terrible. I mean, I've lost family members and had to deal with that pain and grief. But, you know, I'm 25. I've had a really lovely life. I haven't had too many changes that have been really negative and really hard. But it sounds so beautiful, those people who, even though they have had to go through a really difficult change and move into a phase of life that is more difficult and harder than and not as pleasant than they had, the ones who seem to have been able to accept it, it sounds like, I mean, without knowing them, but it does sound like a nicer state of living to be in rather than focusing on that change and the difference between where you are now and where you were before.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's attitude is everything, but there's so many factors that come into that. Like if you're already, you know, in a depressive state or, you know, there's a lot of things or you have chronic pain, like I can't begin to imagine what that's like. So from us with our pretty mild lives and, you know, non-traumas in these particular major areas, you know, yeah, highly advocate the positive attitude, the gratitude. But if you need help with that, yeah, just sit with someone who can encourage you, whether that's professionally or just as a friend, and, you know, help you get through. You know, nostalgia is not always pleasant. Some people have had really awful memories where we've had good ones, for example, even high school has been so different for different people we know, and in unfair ways.
Yeah.
And in positive ways, some people had not unexpected successes or, like, different things. So it's just this balance. And I used to kind of sit with, why did I get to have a life that was so much easier? Even if we just look in an economic sense, you know, why have my changes, my difficult decision was, what should I study at uni? And yeah, other people's difficult decision was, should we eat or send our children to school?
Yeah.
Or send them to work. So I used to feel a bit of a guilt around that kind of thing. And I think it's still healthy to sit with that thought and try and reconcile our lives compared to other people's lives and the scale of changes that we go through. And, you know, like I say, like, assess your lot in life, but don't just look upwards. Actually, I don't know if anyone said that, but
you can say it.
I'm saying it now. I'm saying it right now. Just look out
there. As said by Jemima McMurray.
You heard it first here, folks. You know, when you're looking at where you'd rather be, you know, you can also appreciate where you're not and use that in a positive way as well. Yeah.
So as opposed to kind of coach ourselves through future changes, what sort of things can we do to help ourselves deal with change in a positive way, in an accepting way, whether it's good or bad changes?
Wow. I think gratitude. Like, when I'm remembering things, sometimes I list out things, like even people that I've loved who passed away, just still being able to write about them and appreciate them and think back on things. So for me, as a writer as well, I find that a very natural way to be grateful for that person and remember them. And even for seasons, like as we were leaving, you know, Loftus where we lived, I wrote a lot about the bush. Just I was in that, I knew that I was in that period of, I'm going to miss this and those details are going to be really special to me later. So for me, I was already working through that.
Yeah.
And it had a form for me, which was, you know, the page, and it was, you know, the descriptions that I wrote of different things that I loved. So I think gratitude and reflection. And then, like, I think there needs to be some kind of a forward focus as well.
Yeah.
So what, you know, we either usually adjusting to change, we're wishing we had change, or we're planning the next change.
Yeah.
We can kind of be in either. Yeah, have there been things that you would recommend or that you've done?
I think for myself, my biggest piece of advice to myself is living in the current season to the full.
Mm.
I mean, I would say live every day to the full, but for me personally, that's just not possible.
Some days are just boring work days.
Yeah, and some days are bad.
But overall.
Yeah, overall, like that week, that month, that season, to be aware that it will pass away. Not pass away, but it will pass and it will change. And this season that we're in will not last forever. And having that knowledge help me enjoy it to the full, so that when I do go to a different season and I do go through change, I don't have any regrets or many regrets as much as possible about that season that I was in. And while I might still have that nostalgia, I won't have that negative, oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I had made a better opportunity, like made better use of that opportunity. I think this is actually something that you told me, Jem. It's definitely not my idea. It's come from somewhere else, but that even for, relationships or, dealing with relationships and with people and with situations is living with the view that this is going to end someday. You know, even with life, we're not going to live forever. This person's not going to be in my life forever, whether by choice or not by choice. So knowing that that's going to happen, I'm going to live right now to the full, because I'm not going to have this forever.
Mm. I really like that. And it's to use that to appreciate where we are. You know, that can also be a scary thing if taken too far. Like, I'm prone to overthink as well. And, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting on the lounge cuddling with, you know, someone in my family and think, oh my gosh, this is not always going to be possible.
Yeah.
And just tearing up and being like, oh, you know, just hits you. So yeah, it's in that positive sense as well. I was sitting at my desk today working from home. And I was coaching myself in my head, saying, hey, look, you're at home and you don't have to also look after children while you're working.
Wow.
Like, okay, because we had a baby shower on Saturday, and I heard a lot of the mums talking about how difficult it was working from home. As much as they love and cherish their children, it is really difficult to work from home and to look after four children who are needing your attention and care. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, oh, I'm having an awful day, and then, well, you don't have to look after children right now. I'm like, yeah, that's true. And it's like, we didn't have to commute an hour and a half into the city like you normally do.
Yeah.
It's like, true. So I was putting my negative thoughts on trial against, you know, the situation of my life and how pleasant it is. And, you know, being able to go for a walk by yourself after dinner, that's not applicable to every season of your life. And I used to think, maybe I'm reflective anyway, but I used to even think walking upstairs at uni, there were so many stairs at the station and then at uni, and my days were full of stairs. And I just thought, wow, how great is it that I can go upstairs? And it just was super motivating for me, and I just appreciated it. Because I was like, for any reason, whether it's with a pram or with a walking frame at different stages of life, you know, I can go upstairs. No, I'm bounding upstairs. Two at a time. You know, but how can we appreciate those stairs in our life that are just everyday things that we're going to look back on and think, you know what, that actually was good. And I'm glad I could do that. And, you know, you traveling while you were single and at uni, making the most of opportunities, not just playing it safe in terms of, you know, you put yourself out there to go and do different things like manage a play, stage manager play.
Oh my goodness, yes.
When you had 10 law assignments due or something.
Yeah, and also work.
And blitz them all with only a couple of minor crises.
Yeah. That was a stressful time.
Thinking of stress? Try managing a stage play during a law degree.
Actually, yeah, I was saying the other day, I think now is the most tired I've ever been, but it's not. That period was.
You could do that. You can't do that while you have a fiancé and you're doing marriage prep. So,
yeah.
And you have your full-time job. So, yeah, it's making the most of those moments and reminding ourselves that this is a good season and these are the good old days.
So, Jem, we've come to the end of episode 8 of season 1.
Give me a high five. Did you guys hear that? That was solid.
High five to all of you guys as well. Thank you so much for coming along this journey with us.
Thank you. If you've listened to all the episodes, I'm super proud of you. Thank you.
It really means so much.
Listen to this one, so you could say you've listened to, like, oh yeah, I finished the season yesterday, and that meant you just listened to this one. We're grateful for you too.
Yes.
It's a unique season. We can do podcasts, and we set out to do 8, and we've done 8.
We have. And look, we may come back. We may do a amazingly produced interview style storyline podcast next year.
Well,
this may be the last podcast episode we ever record.
We could investigate the real issues, like why is there a H in time? Interview key linguists and things like that. So look, it could be pretty intense.
That would actually be...
Make sure you come around. We should have someone on trial for the English language.
Oh, I'm so on board with this. I don't know if anyone else will find it interesting, but I will.
Just like a debate, but the debate's against, like, just someone acting on behalf of...
Yeah, I have a lot of friends and family members in society who could do that.
Oh, I'm keen. But it could just be a comeback tour in a nursing home. If you might hear from us in, like, you know, 78 years.
Yeah, so make sure that you're subscribed or following so that whenever we come back, if we do, you will be the first to know.
That's right. We want you to be there.
But before we go, Jem, do you have a final poem for us?
Yes. As we change seasons, I dedicate this to change. The only constant.
Oh no, we didn't give the warning for the cliche.
It's all right. Just want to trigger them once more before we go. Okay. So imagine a midnight. It's midnight and your lamp's on. And you're on that precipice of sleep. But you still want to write. That's just a description of my everyday life. Okay. Eyes slowly closing, but open your book. Mind softly dozing, but linger and look. The wattle, sweet tutor, her blossoms, though dry, still sing the sunlight of yesterday's sky. Gold's given buried, like wisdom over time. Moments to treasure, remembering mine.
Jem, that is just beautiful.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing.
So just as wattle dries in a vase but still is yellow and gold, so is nostalgia as we grow old. That was an impromptu extra stanza just for you listeners. That's never been heard.
If you want to keep getting your weekly dose of Jem's amazing poetry, make sure you follow at Quintessence and Cream on Instagram, and you will be absolutely delighted with what you see there.
Thanks, Suze. And for updates on our everyday lives, you can follow us on Instagram, but you'll probably have to get past our privacy blockers.
Yeah, I probably won't accept you. Unless we're friends. Actually, everyone who's listening to this, I'm pretty sure we are already friends with
them. Look, if you've recently just signed in from Alaska and you do want to connect, just reach out to us at ourstrulypodcast@gmail.com.
There we go.
That's ourstrulypodcast@gmail.com.
We can become pen pals.
Yeah.
Or email pals.
Type pals.
Yeah, keyboard pals.
Keyboard companions.
That's nice. We'll be keyboard companions.
And we will send you warm seasonal greetings.
Or cool, depending on the season.
That's right. So seasonal salutations, everyone. And when a change is impending in your life or you're planning a change, we do encourage you to spend some moments to reflect. What are you grateful for about this season? Look, if you're not loving this season, what is good about it compared to future seasons or past seasons? Do you have more freedom? Do you have more health? Do you have some people in your life you're really grateful for? Let's expand that circle of what we're grateful for and take hold of opportunities.
And just know that for better or worse, the season will change.
Damn, that was deep. Love it.
All right, we need to go have dinner.
That's all from us for this season.
And ours truly.
Bye.